If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
By the way, when Themis comes in and the Yankees are scuffling, she's got a little less confidence.
That's
she comes
so
in with a
true.
Different a different aura.
I have confidence.
She usually
all
comes
time.
In with a zinger oh about something, and today I have no zingers about the Red Sox.
I have confidence at all times, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, the Yankees are struggling a little bit. We got a lot to talk about. I'm fascinated by, the Josh Elliott candidacy. I think it's more to make a point than anything, but. This Ryan Fazio rumors. We have a lot to talk about. We were talking about this Raul Valle case, the stabbing death of James McGrath. And I don't talk about those things a lot because it's morning radio and it sometimes can be tough. But first of all, just stepping back before we go to Mark, because we'll talk about all that stuff, plus Medicaid and so on. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. My stepdaughter's getting married this weekend, so everybody's excited.
Are people, that. Is it like people coming in from out of
yes,
town?
Yes, people coming in from California, from Germany, from Miami, from all over the place.
Well, it's kind of fun.
It is fun.
I can't ask you if you like the guy or not because you have to like him.
I love the guy.
Okay. Well, if you didn't, you weren't going to say on the radio that you didn't.
I would have said I would have said she's very happy.
that would have been the cue?
If that would have been that I'm not thrilled, but he's a great guy.
The weather forecast looks pretty good. Not quite as hot as now.
It is. I mean, we're telling her when she was planning it, just don't get married in July in Connecticut. And of course, we're getting married in July. Because
so is that like,
heat.
Is she pushing back on dad?
I think her fiance is a teacher and, so it's, they kind of have to do it in the summer and August is no better than July, right? I mean, heat wise and humidity wise. Yeah. So we just kept our fingers crossed that there was no thunderstorms or it wasn't 100 degrees and 90% humidity, but right now, knock on wood.
When I was younger, weddings were a chance to reconnect with friends. Now it's just a fun chance to excuse to party. I love weddings. I really do. They're always a bunch of fun. So let's get right to it. Since the 7 o'clock hour, it's a little different than when we usually talk in the 8 o'clock hour, a little bit less time. To what degree should the state fill the void on Medicaid, in your opinion? Like, should we fill the whole hole? How do you make decisions? Like, if you were in leadership, if you were the governor or what have you, because it's really daunting. We have $4+ billion and still running a surplus, but that could go away in like 3 years if you filled all the holes.
Right. Yeah, and that's the point of having a budget reserve, a rainy day fund.
But do you think it should be deployed to do that?
I think some of it should be. But remember, I mean, federal government covers at least 50% of Medicaid to states. And so that's a big cut. You know, it's a big issue. And that's why some of the Republicans in the U.S. Senate had issues with voting.
Josh Hawley, and then he crawled back and,
Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski. But then they gave all this money to rural hospitals, which was another issue. You know, I mean, Medicaid cuts are not just an issue of, okay, Ryan, Themis, Joe, Nancy, Sue are going to lose coverage. Hospitals are really hurt by it. I mean, even Griffin Hospital in Derby, where I sit on the board, that's a hospital in a very blue collar area, and there's more Medicaid there.
But how do you make decisions on? Because if you fill the whole hole, the money's going
to
go away very quickly.
Right.
And then if you do some of it, how do you decide on who gets something and who gets nothing?
I know you're not going to like this answer, but it's making a response.
Are you going to equivocate?
No, I'm not because I think we all agree there's a problem here, right? I mean, I don't disagree that it's an issue. I mean, I don't think you take all the money. You can't take all that money out of there because there's other rainy days too. I mean, look at all the issues that happened during this session.
I mean, totally agree.
How do we justify?
But then how do you choose who they all you assume that they all, and I was told that the Medicaid for undocumented is a tiny percentage. It's not a big percentage. So you assume that everyone involved here needs it, who was getting it. So you're going to pick winners and losers.
You never assume that. And I will tell you why. Because when I was there, we went through program after program in the state of Connecticut where there was fraud found left and right. Now, I believe that government's job is to take care of the people who need our help. You know, certainly seniors, children, disabled people, that people that need our help, right? And we need to help people help themselves. So, I mean, the one positive thing, you know, was the work requirements in a lot of, you know, whether it is in the SNAP program, for example, right, with the previously called food stamps. You have to make sure people are either working, trying to work, in school, something. I mean, we want to help the people that need the help. So I think that getting rid of some of the fraud is going to help save some money to give to the people that really need
it. Okay, so to summarize your position, you are in favor of deploying a portion of the rainy day fund to fill some gaps, but not to just fill all of it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they're going to come back in the fall. You know, that was the whole plan in the first place. The budget was passed. The new budget starts on July 1st. You know, we already started that. But they didn't really know what was happening with the federal budget.
Right.
So they kind of had there were two different camps. One was like, let's just do it all now. And the other camp was like, we don't know what's going to happen. So we have to figure out what our problem is before we can fix it.
And I don't disagree with that.
Which makes sense. So they're going to come back in the fall, my understanding. And try and fix all of that, including that housing bill.
Well, there's a strange perception that it's like people will freak out if the rainy day fund goes below $4 billion. It's become this, like, it's a different threshold now. It seems like the consensus, we want to keep it at a high level no matter what the crisis is in the moment. So even if it is a rainy day, you don't want to use up the whole fund because everyone feels like it'll be going back to what it was 10 years ago. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to tell you why, though. Because I lived through the legislature where the rainy day fund was dangerously, dangerously low. Dangerously low.
All right. It had been almost depleted, right?
Number one. Number two, what you've seen going on in the legislature in the past year or two about this whole, well, you know, we don't need, there's a lot of money in it. We need to put money in other places. So we should eke away at this section of the rainy day fund or eke away because of the caps, right? Mm-hmm. Spending caps and the volatility caps. When you start eking away at those things, you're going to get less and less money. And we could easily be in a place we were 10 years ago, 10 years from now. And so there's real fear, especially for people who were there 6, 8, 10, 15, 20 years ago when the rainy day fund was at a dangerous place.
Yeah, there's fear to go back to it. Well, Josh Elliott is basically running because not just because of the two vetoes, but also because not enough money, in his opinion, was deployed for programs that he feels are important. And Lamont, I think his conservatism on that side and coupled with waiting to find out what the federal spending bill looked like, I think there were prudent choices. Now, in terms of the housing bill, I mean, the striking workers one, I had one of the co-authors on. I still don't understand the support of it, but the housing bill, it's problematic because, you know, Lamont, helped craft it and it passed, and then he turned tail after it was passed and vetoed it. So a lot of Democrats are upset about that, yet the bill is flawed. And it, I mean, if you were still around, what would your thoughts be on it?
You know, I don't think it should have been passed in the form that it was in. I think that, you know, I will tell you, I would be, and I know that my colleagues, you know, on the Republican side of the aisle in the House of the Senate, were ready, willing, and able to sit down and negotiate it again like they are now. I mean, they want to negotiate this again so when they go into special session in the fall, they can redo it.
So I mean, the so-called unit mandates that is the biggest sticking point, in your opinion, forgetting about, you know, the office conversions and the parking, you know, waiving and all that kind of stuff. Is it about telling the towns that they need to?
Right, unit mandates are always a problem, right? No town, we argue about mandates for everything. And, you know, it's a problem because, you know, towns are not getting the money they need to get from the state. And then depending on what town you live in, and then, you know, the state's telling you what you can do with this or that or the other thing. So that's always the problem. And then people don't want affordable housing in their town. And, you know, that is the perennial debate we have every year.
I know, it never changes.
In this state. However, the problem.
Don't lose
what I do agree with you on is that the governor's office was negotiating this all along the way. Now the union bill, he said from the beginning he wasn't going to sign.
And they passed it anyway.
So But that happens. I mean, that happens with every governor. I mean, I've sat through.
But somehow, like, I don't understand why that. I think that bill should be just sort of put aside in this conversation. It's even though Elliot mentioned it yesterday. That is not you know the reason for all this angst. I mean that
because Josh Elliott. I mean, you just said why? I don't even understand why they wanted that bill because union people. And listen, I believe you're in a union. You have a right to strike. That's your right.
Yeah.
But when you avail yourself of that right, then you don't get paid. Right? Now,
it's a personal choice you make.
As a business owner, now have to figure out how I'm going to get people to work at my business.
Right.
Because you're availing yourself of your right to strike. You know, but don't say like, okay, you have the right to strike. And then I, as a business owner, have to then pay people to do your job while we're negotiating with you as to what issues you have and what plan we can come with so you can go back to work. But then you should get paid for it. You know, that was just a preposterous thing in the first place. Union people will push for whatever they can to make sure they get as much as they can. Now, I'm not being critical of unions because that could be fill in the blank, right? Any group, whether it's unions, you fill in the blank with some other group that will push for anything they can. So everybody pushes for anything they can and hope they can get it.
I don't want to spend any more time on this because I feel like that bill was pushed through when they could have spent time on bills that could have really helped more people. And I just think it's kind of ridiculous for the expectation where you go on strike, just on principle. Forget about the fact that taxpayers aren't directly funding unemployment benefits. The fact that you have to underwrite someone's personal choice to walk off the job, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. Themis Claridis joining us here. I'm Brian Accompany, former state rep and Senate candidate, obviously integral in the way the budget was handled and the guardrail set up in 2017. We're out of time here. I want you to think about, though, the governor's race. Ryan Fazio, Aaron Stewart, Jen Tucker, there's one or two others there already. We talked about Josh Elliott a little bit. Before we go to break, though, are you 100% convinced Lamont's going to go for a third term?
I am 90% convinced.
90%.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Okay, that's 10%. I mean, that's a election.
Listen, it's politics. Nothing's ever 100%. Things change on a dime.
Yeah, but right now you feel like he's going to.
I think he's very strongly leaning in that direction based on his comments and everything we all heard.
Yeah. All right, let's talk a little politics. We have a little bit of time here, and then we'll take a break. I'm going to run down the list. Is Ryan Fazio going to run?
He's leaning very strongly in the affirmative.
Is it 90%?
No, I'd say it's higher.
Okay. Stewart, is she going to run?
Seems like she is.
Okay. Tucker? She's definitely in. She's in. Okay. So do you think any of the three have any chance to beat Lamont?
I think it's a huge uphill battle.
And so the question we'll start with coming back before we get the specifics is then why would they do it? And I have my own theories. Mm-hmm. Why would they do it if it's a losing proposition? And I think I have my opinion. I'll give you mine, and I'll get Themis. We're back with Themis Claridis, former state rep and Senate candidate, and as I like we've talked about many times over the last couple of years, the guardrails, the surplus, the rainy day fund has a lot to do with the coalition from 2017. When I wasn't here, but I've read about it quite a bit and talked about it quite a bit, that made that budget deal that changed the trajectory of Connecticut finances, not forever because things will change, but obviously changed a narrative from a really difficult situation to a much stronger position. Governor, you have Aaron Stewart trying to raise money. You have Ryan Fazio, the state senator, who, I mean, let's be honest, both of them are in their 30s with good resumes. And as I said about Aaron Stewart, she could wait 10 years and still be young. Let's face it, to be honest, relative to, and Fazio is even younger. So why would someone like Ryan Fazio, who's getting more and more name recognition, stature in the state Senate, and he's in his 30s, still emerging, why would he do this now?
Well, there's a couple reasons. First of all, people aren't 100% certain, as we talked about earlier, whether the governor is going to run again.
Right.
I mean, I think it's, you know, I said 90%, and I think he's strongly leaning in that direction. He said, he basically said he was.
He said he likes the job, although it's been more difficult in the last 6 months than it was in the previous 4 years.
But you don't know. So I think that that's one thing. They don't know if he's running or not running, which makes it a little bit easier. But I still think an uphill battle, regardless of who runs on the Democrat side, based on our, you know, our voter registration and our propensities in Connecticut. And also with President Trump being in office. The second reason is, you know, I mean, there are people that just believe they're the best candidates and they're going to run regardless of who's running. I think Ryan's position is that he understands it's an uphill battle and he's playing this for the long game for, you know, 4 years after 2026.
Well,
when Lamont will not be there.
Right. So why not just stay in the Senate for four more years?
Because historically, state senators and state representatives have less than 10% name ID. And so you're familiar with him. People that are in politics are familiar with him, but your average person isn't. So
right.
He needs statewide name ID. So he, you know, he's going to go around the state, go to different town committees, go to different events, speak to people that don't know who he is, and they get to see what he's about. They get to see his mannerisms. They get to see his policies. You know, he has won in a Democrat district in Greenwich. I mean, Greenwich was, the fact that I'm saying that is shocking to me. There hadn't been a Democrat state senator in Greenwich in the history of the town until Alex Bergstein beat.
Right. But then it swung
Scott France.
It swung blue pretty hard.
It's been very tight, and that's a very difficult seat to.
But he's a moderate. He's a moderate Republican. He's not. You don't think so?
No. Listen, he's more towards the middle. He leans to the right, no question about it. But he's a smart guy. He's a common sense guy. He has won in a town that has become increasingly difficult to win in. You know, his position. He's very, very fiscally minded, and he understands money and putting budgets together and things like that. And so he wants to get that out to people in the state of Connecticut.
I got a couple of things here. One is based on if it was Jen Tucker or Aaron Stewart or Ryan Fazio, would you come out and state that?
Well, I'm not.
You're not picking?
Not right now. Because, you know, there's too many unknowns.
But
see who's there. Listen, Ryan's a friend, and I know he's a solid guy, and I think he would do a great job.
Here's the issue when I analyze what you just said, and I said this with Stewart too, is that I didn't know, because my ignorance in being, I didn't know that you couldn't run for state senate and governor, so he would have to leave his seat.
Mm-hmm.
So if he loses and he gets the state recognition, what does he do for 4 years?
He puts a plan together with political consultants to figure out where he needs to be in the state, how he needs to be in the state.
But that's a problem. He's not going to be in the news. The same with like Luke Bronin, who now might primary Larson in the first district. Nobody's heard from him. You have Aaron Stewart, who, if she doesn't win, how does she stay in the limelight? How does Ryan Fazio stay in the limelight?
I want to tell you this. You think, and you could look at any
poll.
Don't
condescend.
But we all think that. Like every state rep and every state senator thinks everybody knows them. Okay? And they don't. It is historically, when you poll every year for governor's races or Senate races or, you know, any other races.
Sure.
You see people that you think, oh, everybody knows Joe Schmo.
Well, what's your point?
That it's 9% name ID.
I feel like you're proving my point.
No, my point is, if he stays in the Senate, that continues. Because he's got to represent his district of Greenwich and Stamford. He can't be going to Brooklyn, Connecticut. And
oh,
and
no, but he's talking Saber. To me. He's going on TV during the session.
He's talking to you. Do you want to know why? Because you know he's going to plan on running for governor 4 years later. And he's going to put together, he's going to get involved in issues that he wasn't able to when he was in the state Senate. He's going to, he could put a PAC together.
You can't acknowledge candidates. That it's a little bit of a challenge.
I understand why a layperson would think that.
Ooh, okay. I'm not saying it is not overcomable. I'm just saying that if Stewart and Ryan Fazio, Aaron Stewart, Mayor of New Britain, and Ryan Fazio run, and then they're no longer in their political positions, if they lose, they have to find ways to stay out front for three years. And I'm saying that's not easy.
I'm going to tell you another downside to staying in office is that you have votes.
Yeah, but
a lot of votes.
You're going to stand by your record. You're going to stand by your record.
But the less votes you have, the better off you are, trust me, in regards to running again. You have votes and issues you have to take up that are maybe positions of your party, maybe positions of your caucus that may not be helpful for you to run for an office 4 years later.
See, for me, I would love, I have a good relationship with the governor. But I, for no other reason than entertainment value, I would love to see, you know, and I don't want to wait 4 more years to get an open seat on both sides because it's going to be fun whether it's this time and if Lamont decides to run and if he wins, then in 5 years, it's going to be crazy.
That's what every media person says, and I get it.
It's true, though.
It is true. There's no question. It's less interesting when it's, you know, when there's an incumbent who very likely is going to win versus, you know, the brawling on each side.
Well, I think the Republicans have a great chance at some point, whether it's, I don't think they can beat Lamont here, but you never know. But I think in the open seat, a Republican could win.
It's got to be the right Republican. Our problem in our party has been, you know, who can win the primary versus who can win a general election?
Right, but that's another thing. But after Lamont's, if he runs for third term and if he wins, you wouldn't have the Trump factor.
It wouldn't be there.
You're dismissing things
too
easily.
Okay, let me ask you this. 2 years ago, we didn't have the Trump wasn't in office. We had the Trump factor.
Right, because you knew he was going to run again.
4 years ago, we had the Trump factor. Do you honestly think that because he is not president anymore, that a year later there's not going to be the Trump factor?
It won't.
There's going to be the J.D. Vance factor.
No,
there's going to be the Trump brothers factor.
Trump is a unicorn.
They're not going
anywhere.
You're
not right about that.
But they're not going anywhere.
I think it's going to be different when he's not the president than it is now, and I don't know how you can argue that.
But not immediately. That's the difference.
How are you enjoying Channel 3? How's that going?
We have such a great time with Kara Sundlin and Jimmy Tickey. We do Capital Rundown.
When is it? You tape
it on? We live stream it on Wednesdays at 2. We're taking the rest of the summer off, though.
Oh, excuse me.
It wasn't my thing, but, you know, people are away.
Live streams on Wednesday?
On Wednesdays at 2, but then you can go to WFSB.com at any time and just watch any of the episodes.
That's cool. I mean, I've caught you there like once or twice, and Kara's great. And obviously they have like a new general manager just started there.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah. Have you met him?
I have not yet, but they were all in the midst of
trying to impress
going
him.
Through the meetings. Going through the meetings.
It's always interesting. Well, Dana Nev's the long time. You know, she's been there forever, is moving up the food chain in that company. And so there was a void there. It's great to see you. Good luck at the wedding.
Thank you. Fingers crossed.
The forecast. I don't usually do, I don't like to look at weekends until Wednesday. But, I mean, it says mostly sunny, low to mid-80s on Saturday.
It is, and like moderate humidity. So let's keep our fingers crossed. It's summer, though, and, you know, these things change on a dime. I am going to the Styx concert tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Hopefully they don't do a 20-minute rendition of Mr. Roboto. Because it ruined the band's career, because they have some great songs. Thank you, Themis.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.